Hey, you. Yes, I mean you, dear listener. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this Warui Desho podcast, made in association with Wave Motion Canon. We're so happy to have the pleasure of your company today. If you've listened to us before and like our show, you might be wondering how you can support us, since we won't take your money. This podcast will continue to be free, but if you'd like to show your appreciation, please consider leaving us a rating and review on iTunes, as those help our discoverability. If you don't use iTunes, that's fine too. You can follow us and like and share our content on SoundCloud, Twitter, and sometimes the Wave Motion Canon YouTube page. Additionally, we love getting your feedback, positive or negative. Tweet us at WarueiDesho or email us at WarueiDesho@gmail.com. Whether or not it gets read on the show, I can assure you, we all read every tweet and email you send us. And once again, dear listener, we thank you so much. Now please, enjoy the show.
WarueiDesho.
Hello, and welcome back to Warui Desho, and we're here again with Stream of Thought on everyone's favourite flower child of an MMO currently, anime, already slurring my words really bad there, Recovery of an MMO Junkie, and we're back today with episode 5, Secret Triangle, which is not a sequel to Crystal Triangle, thank God. That would be really, really bad if that was the case.
I made a horrible face.
Thought you might have done, because every time I think of Crystal Triangle, the Lost Warui Desho episode, it just wrinkles up. It's like I'm sucking on a raw, skinless lemon. And I definitely do not want to see anime Gabe Newell appear anytime soon. So thank God that, yeah, bad or good memories?
I forgot about that. I forgot about the anime Gabe Newell. I almost want to go back and rewatch that now.
No, let's instead talk about Secret Triangle, Episode 5 of Recovery of an MMO Junkie. So, last time on Secret Triangle, MMO Junkie. Oh, Haley came, my words mixed up.
We should introduce ourselves.
Fuck, alright, yeah, okay. You're right. I'm Shaden, I'm the one with the MMO experience and also the loudest mouth in anime podcasting worldwide. And joining me today from across the pond is my esteemed colleague and delightful fellow, the Sussle Doxer.
That's me.
I'd hope so. I don't want no imposters taking over this podcast. I mean, your friend Krusty has already been on here more than enough. So next time he gets on, I'm just going to shoot him dead.
He might be boycotting us now because of all the, episodes about current anime. But fuck that guy. That's what I say.
He's the one who would tell me that Garzy's Wing is modern art. As I'm concerned, his opinion is null and void.
Unsubscribe, Krusty.
So... last time when we picked off, Sakurai finally made the connection, or rather got hints as to Hayashi's true identity, and it might be Morimori-chan. So, we pick up in pretty much immediately where we left off from that. And there's a bit of discussion, Sakurai's like piecing things together that he's heard, and in the end, he's just like, thinks to himself, no way, it's a coincidence, it does not happen. Coincidences are the name of the game of this episode, regressively, though, so I'm afraid Sakurai is dead wrong on this point. But he ultimately writes it all off as just a coincidence. Like, can't be possible. Not going to happen.
Can I ask you a question?
By all means.
Slightly off track. I'm sorry if this is in the outline already and we'll get to it, let me know. But I am curious. So, the name of this episode, if you... looked at it before you watched it, at least when I did, I thought, okay, some secret love triangle is developing.
Mm-hmm.
But did you come away with that impression that is in fact what it meant? Because I thought it might be something slightly different, but it may make more sense to talk about it after we run down the plot.
No, I think that pretty much is what it is, and I think it's so secret even the characters don't really know.
Okay.
I think it's kind of like some sort of strange rock, paper, scissors thing going on here where Morioka's like doesn't know how to feel about Sakurai or Kowai. Kowai doesn't know how to feel. Like, well, he knows exactly how he feels about Morioka, but or does he? We don't know. This is the question. And Sakurai is just confused and ashamed of himself, generally speaking. So I think that there's certainly the setup for a love triangle here, but I don't think that anyone has actually realized it yet. I don't think anyone's truly come to terms with what they actually want.
What I came away with in the end was that secret was not an adjective describing triangle, but that it was a triangle of secrets, not a secret love triangle.
Also valid.
Yeah, so this is, I thought that the episode title was really interesting. I thought it was kind of provocative. But like you said, like there's not an out-and-out love triangle by the end of episode 5 that's really developed yet. You could argue that there are some different sides to the triangle, right? Like with Lilac, how Lilac feels about Hayashi. Of course, Sakurai and Moriko and Kowai is in the mix there.
So Sakurai writes this all off as basically one giant coincidence. And after we get a bit of a flashback in which Kowai relates, like, you know, that, oh, I can't wait for my date with Mori-chan, while Sakurai's, like, you know, trying to eat some rice and chips, I think. But in reality, he's just eating on sour grapes at this point, really, I'd feel. So having getting his nose rubbed into it, you know, a little bit there, even though Kowai, like, says to him, you can come join us if you want, because I'm sure that Sakurai would really love to be the third wheel there. I can imagine that going down real well.
Well, that's, I feel like that's what he really does want, though, Kowai, but he's not very good at, or maybe he understands, but he just intentionally ignores, like, people's hesitation or awkward feelings. You know, like, I think he does, I feel like, gosh, I still want to believe he wants to help push those two together, but he's just going about it in a way that is antithetical to their own personalities.
I'm not so sure about that, but I'm going to have to actually admit that I've got a theory. In order for me to prove this, I'm going to need to go over the episodes and everything that Kowai says with a fine tooth comb.
Okay.
And I'll pitch it by you, though, when we get to the end of the episode. So put the pin in that for now, Doc. Buckle up. It's going to get strange.
Pinned.
For the meantime, while Kowai is discussing his impending date, he's not the only one with that on his mind, though, because Morioka decides to visit the supermarket again. Now, she's not going this time for her usual breakfast of beer with a side of beer, but she's actually going to pick up cosmetics and such, including stockings, because she'd thrown all of hers out previously. And I won't bang too much on this drum, because I certainly hammered it home pretty hard in the previous episode. But again, we've got the fashion thing going on here. Personal appearance. Heck, when there's actually like an inner like vision or imagination moment that Moriko has, where she's looking at her own outfit, the tracksuit she's wearing, and she puts levels next to all the items, treating it like loot that you wear in an MMO. So I don't know how much more explicit you can get than that as far as crossing over between real life and MMO goes, at least in her own head.
The pants were level 83. That I remember.
They were good pants. So, however, Moriko's fashion issues and such are not actually the crux of what happens in this scene, because she, of course, bumps into Fujimoto again at the checkout, and they kind of pick up their conversation from previously, and it goes something a bit like this. Oh, yeah, I play Fruit de Mer too. Oh, that's fantastic. What server do you play on? Oh, I play on the Kalmar server. Oh, really? What's your character called? Cut to black.
Da-da-da.
And the penny drops really, really hard here. Because, as it turns out, Fujimoto is Kanbe, the guild master.
The guild master. And he look like the character looks remarkably like him in real life if you just pull off his glasses and gave him that haircut.
You know, I'm actually convinced that if you were to compare Hayashi and Moriko side by side and strip away their hair, I'm fairly certain their facial features are fairly similar.
I don't know if that's the case for all the characters and their real life counterparts or not.
I'm fairly certain it doesn't apply to Poyo.
We don't know, though.
You can't breathe through. If you were born with that nose, you wouldn't be able to breathe through it. Grief. It's like a clown nose. It's just not coloured red. So, yeah, not being able to breathe through that. But anyway, Moriko, unfortunately, you know, that's it. Game over. That's the end of everything as she knows it, because someone knows who she is now. The truth is out.
The worlds have collided.
And smashed apart into pieces as far as she's concerned. So in the game, she's literally hiding in a bush as Hayashi. And this is when Lilac bumps into her. Lilac's doing some sort of escort quest that's killing time, really. And unfortunately, we hit the anime's lowest point here for me.
Oh, because, okay.
Well, when I say low, it's not because if I find the behavior that happens here reprehensible or anything like that. It's just that what follows is a narrative convenience so massive it actually outdoes even own Sakurai's own, you know, this is too convenient. It's quite ridiculous, to be quite honest. And okay. It could have so easily been fixed if they changed it slightly. I'll stop being around the bush, though, even though that's where the characters are, and get to the actual point. So, indirectly, Hayashi, Morika, relates to Lilac, the problem about, you know, how someone might find out about who they are in real life and judge them based on their gender. And Lilac says something to this effect. It's okay. I met a person online who played a male character, and it turned out she was a classmate of mine at university who's a girl, and it's totally cool if you're a girl playing a guy. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hint, hint. Now, my grievance with this is I totally get what the moral lesson of this is, that it doesn't actually matter.
Yeah.
Like, Lilac's like, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
This person I met is totally cool, both online and offline. It doesn't matter what they are online, or indeed who they are offline for that matter. You know, they're still cool, and I like them as a person. It's just that the actual story overlays way too much with what's happening with Moriko. And it comes off very contrived to me, which is a shame. Like, a couple of small changes to that, maybe flip the genders, I don't know, could have made this more naturalistic rather than coming off as a contrivance as it does here. I mean, we've certainly had some silly coincidental stuff happen before. Like, you could argue that when Sakurai elbows Moriko in the face, that's coincidence and yeah. a half, that would happen.
Yeah.
But I'm more accepting of that because it's just its own event, as opposed to being a piece of advice doled out that so perfectly overlays. Like, there's no Venn diagram here, it's just a single circle. And with the exception being that, of course, that Lilac and her regular in real life friend are not in love or attracted or otherwise fumbling over each other in any way, as opposed to what's happening with Sakurai and Moriko, where they seem to be tripping up Showa's shoelaces. So I appreciate the intent of this scene, but I think that it just goes a touch too far on being too like the actual scenario to come across as naturalistic.
I mean, I have no rebuttal. I can offer no defense for the show in that regard. I think I am slightly more forgiving of it than you, but
it's not deal breaker.
At no point am I saying that you're wrong about anything. I think where I will get upset is if the coincidences start being a big factor in how the romance resolves.
Yeah. I mean, when you start building coincidences on top of coincidences, it stops feeling like natural human behavior and more like star-crossed lovers nonsense, which is not what I'm in for in any way, shape, or form. I hate to say, believe me, I've been burned enough times already with anime that start off strong and then falter at the end. PTSD still. Can't, you know, just recovering from the bad experience.
It sounds like you have a question.
No.
If you have a question, why don't you ask me? I might have.
Don't say it.
The right answer.
This structure, it's referred to as a kata.
I couldn't resist. I'm like Kanbei. I couldn't resist poking you. Which, can I say, in game, his personality is very aggressive. But ultimately, he's a good dude, but he really likes to poke people.
you know, I have a thought on that. Thank you very much for that segue there to stop me from, like, you know, just getting the lint roller out and just running it across the floor in real anger at the mention of that other show. But I have an idea, actually. I'm of the opinion, actually, having seen how Kanbei acts there, that I don't think that what we're seeing in the show is necessarily how the characters are acting, but more how Morioka interprets them. I think that if you take the words that he says and just think of them neutrally, they're actually fairly normal. Like, there's no acid, like, there's no, like, you know, barbs to them or anything like that. But I get the impression that the way Morioka is actually interpreting what's being said, I mean, bear in mind, all the messages here are being written in text. So there's no actual speaking, really, in reality for any of these characters. I mean, we've seen many times where Hayashi and Lily are speaking, but it's just text. There's no voice. So yeah. I would argue this is Morioka, like, you know, filling the voices in for us. Granted, that doesn't always apply because Moriko's not always there. So there is a certain amount of, like, you know, objective that this is how they would sound.
Right.
But I think that Kanbei's personality here is just how she's seeing it now that she's been found out and is taking things really, like, you know, harshly from him.
Well, it was that way before, though, like, whenever he was bothering Lilac, you know, about her look. I felt he was, again, very sort of pointed and blunt in his words. It could just be that is Fujimoto's personality, like, when he's not being a polite clerk. Or it could have nothing to do with his personality. It could have to do more with his online persona, or just the way that that he writes. Like, I have a supervisor at work who is one of the kindest, friendliest people in the world. But man, like, I struggle at times to not interpret their emails as, like, very harsh because they're all so terse. Like, very minimal language, lots of, like, 1 to 2 sentence email and verbal communication would be entirely different. So it could just be a text thing, which sort of goes back around to what you're saying and how she's reading it.
Yeah, and I think you actually have a very valid point there. I think that could actually more likely be the truth of the matter. But again, if that's the case, then the anime still gets away with it because it again serves the purpose of dividing and testing real life versus the MMO.
Right.
Like, we had a discussion on this about how people act, you know, when they're not in person. I mean, I cannot fathom for a second Fujimoto saying what he says in the game to Morioka in person.
I know.
I'm not even just talking about, like, you know, if they were behind the counter, because of course he's not going to say anything like that there while he's working. I'm simply talking about any circumstance would he say that to her.
Yeah.
So I think you actually could be pretty much on the nose there. Maybe that's more the case than it is with mine, especially given that, as I say, the characters all sound the same regardless of whether or not Moriko's there or not, so we don't have her as the lens, so to speak. This is when they have a bit of a heart-to-heart. After Lilac at this point has let her go finish off her quest, Morioka apologizes for lying, and Fujimoto offers some advice, which is that, firstly, he'll keep all of this a secret, because as far as he's concerned, people can play how they want as long as they don't cause any drama. And I'm totally behind that attitude. Let people do what they want as long as they don't, you know, intrude or impose. Mm-hmm. That's great. But he makes one recommendation, he gives one piece of advice, which bear in mind what we know about Morioka at this point. I'm going to let you all have a little bet in your head how long it takes for her in real time in terms of the episode before this advice is ignored. But the advice is not to rely on Lily too much for advice regarding the real world.
Vegas sets the over-under on that at about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I'm taking the under.
Sounds about right. So, after having taken that advice and then having it go immediately out of the other ear, we go to the break and we cut back. And this is the point now where we get a fashion montage.
Woohoo!
So Morioka, like, you know, realizes that, oh yeah, she's got the date with Kowai. So poor her takes the cover off her mirror, looks at herself and thinks,
she covered up her mirror. That's like a true just jumping into Lake Neat, full bore. Like saying fuck mirrors, whatever. Nothing to spur me into like the needless like spending money on taking care of myself. I'm just not even going to look at my appearance. Unbelievable.
To be fair, I suppose you might, if you know you like your hair is a mess, you've got bags under your eyes. Maybe catching yourself in a mirror every single day might be down. Might put you down a little bit.
That's also true.
It's hard to say, really, because we don't have much of an insight in what she's saying. But at the end of it, so she takes it off, looks herself, thinks, "Wow, did I get hit with the ugly stick while I was in the MMO or when I was in real life? I don't remember. Something's critically hit me for like 50 damage to my face." So poor Mariko, though, like obviously she's not that bad, but she's gonna go and you know
still looks cute.
Yeah, she does. She's still gonna go sort herself out, but.
Koiwai, you know, asked her out while she was, you know, at her neatest in the supermarket. So clearly, she's being a little hard on herself.
Well, she was neat, but she wasn't very neat. I am so sorry for that, but I feel it's only fair.
Deleting this recording. Start over.
You pulled a grade A piece of bullshit on me before by referencing the show that shall not be named. Don't think this isn't karma, right?
This structure, it's referred to as a kaido.
I'm onto you, Doc. I will fight back. Don't make me. Okay, so, however, Mariko, like, is looking at herself in the mirror and thinks, God, what would I wear? What should I do? How should I, you know, like, doll myself up? And bear in mind that this is less than maybe 5 minutes of actual time in the episode that has passed since we had the moment in which Kanbei said, do not ask Lily for advice on how to act in real life. I will give you no prizes and no points for guessing what Mariko decides to do next. So immediately, Hayashi goes and asks Lily, you know, about fashion. But of course, Hayashi has to, like, you know, swap the genders around, saying, like, what do you reckon a woman would wear who's going on a night out? Not that I'm a woman at all, I promise.
What, just, I mean, why are you asking?
This is Mariko's, like, Mariko's, like, game plan every time she has to ask anything real life related. Just change maybe one or two details. Find to replace the genders in her little script in her head and go from there. I mean, Sakurai's quite sharp, but he hasn't yet picked up on this. Like, he's either, like, incredibly on the point or completely oblivious to what's happening before his eyes. Although, bits and parts of it are now starting to fall in place for him. So,
yeah, and I think he earlier had said, is Hayashi Mariko? And then he's like, no, there's just no way. And so I think he's deliberately forcing himself to not put those pieces together. You know what I mean? In this case, I think he's just in denial right now.
That would be correct, I would say. But at this time, however, when this discussion starts up, Kanbei arrives. Now, Kanbei, of course, knows what's going on. He knows who Hayashi actually is. But I think it's also worth pointing out that, to my knowledge, Kanbei does not know who plays Lily. As far as he's concerned, Lily's just Lily. He doesn't know who is behind the, you know, the pink hair and all that. Which I think is important because not only does that help sell the comedy of this scene that we've got, like, this strange, like, comedy of errors, like, almost Midsummer Night nonsense of, here's this person who knows this about this person doesn't know about that, and they're having the same conversation, but some of them have some knowledge, the others don't. I think it's also important just because
This might be the secret triangle.
It very well could be.
Kanbei, while he doesn't know Lily is, you know, Sakurai Yuta, he does know that Lily is played by a man. Mm-hmm. You can tell that from the DM he sends that Lily sends to Kanbei and says, why did you put us back on topic when I tried to change the subject? I'm a man. I don't know how to answer this question.
you're entirely correct, actually. Yes, he does know that. He just doesn't know specifically who it is. So they have a discussion in which Lily, Sakurai, argues for, like, long flowing hair as, like, that's, you know, amazing, the essence of a woman. So now, I
he
have
is
to say,
so
like,
mad because Kanbei says short hair is best. And then Lily gets so indignant. And it's just like, long hair is, like, the essence of a woman's romance and just like so like gets on the soapbox about it. And Convey, again, loving to poke people, just casually dismissing her. It's beautiful.
I have to say, like, when Sakurai, like, says that he's down with long hair, although we don't see it in any form, I do have to wonder if he's thinking that because he's thinking the Moriko at the time that someone, like, that question is posed to him.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
But possibly, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, it could be. He is extremely passionate, though.
That is very true. He's all in on this. He's all in on, like, you know, how he thinks it should go, like, you know, get a blouse and everything like that. So, Moriko, like, is caught between these two opinions, short hair, long hair. And
why is she so grateful for, like, I'm sorry, I'm just stuck on this. I apologize for cutting you off. Like,
that's fine.
Why would Hayashi, you know, ostensibly played by a, you know, male university student, just be like, not only what would a lady wear to a date, but when Lily just is like, oh, a blouse, a skirt, and a cardigan, he's like, oh, thank you so much. Like, I mean, come on.
Like, come I said, on. Sakurai alternates between being like, you know, Sherlock Holmes-esque level of deductive reasoning to being as dense as, you know, as dense as concrete.
I'm not even saying he needs to figure it out, but it's just weird. I mean, why would you not just be like, why do you want to know?
Being weird. Like, just ask for some context behind this discussion. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens next, though, I find is interesting. And I'm hoping that, again, maybe I'm jumping to wild, fantastical, magical conclusions here. But here's the thing, right?
Okay.
So remember the hair, right?
Yep.
Lily, Sakurai, suggested long. And Fujimoto, Kanbei, suggested short. Moriko goes to the hairdressers.
Someone else. Who else said long?
That was the hairdresser.
Yeah, at some point, yeah, she says 2-1 for long. But yes. Because that's right. The hairdresser says long hair suits you. Is the hairdresser lilac?
No, I don't believe it is.
Okay. Because I thought they looked remarkably similar.
I'd have to go back and check, but I'm of the opinion it's not. I'm actually certain it's not, because the hairdresser did not have a ponytail, whereas lilac does. I'd have to go back and check, but I'm fairly confident. Okay. In fact, I have the episode right. Let me go find this. I'm going to check. Where's that scene?
She's probably older than lilac anyways.
It's not lilac.
Okay.
Okay, right. Anyway, so Moriko, however, taking all of these on board, goes for a different option, which is to have her hair cut to medium length rather than short. Admittedly, to me, it still looks short, but that doesn't matter. I'm interested in this, and I'll tell you why. Because I get the impression that Moriko generally doesn't make a lot of decisions for herself, with the exception of course, quitting her job. But actually, like, you know, taking decisive action is something she's not really that great at from what we've seen so far. I mean, let's be honest.
Especially when people that she knows have taken different sides. I can see that being one that is a scenario that she would avoid like the plague.
And speaking of avoiding like the plague, I can guarantee that if she had more self-confidence, she would have turned down Kowai there and then in the supermarket. But she felt cornered. Now, to be fair, Kowai is a very imposing gentleman. Like, he was very smooth talking when he came on set. Like, he didn't leave her an out, and she recognized that. But there's always an out, and the out is not interested, thank you, goodbye.
Exactly.
It could be that's all you need. That's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if this will develop later in the show to suggest that Moriko's finally developing some sort of agency for herself, like that she, you know, feels she can start making decisions on how she wants to look because how she wants to look, not because she's trying to please someone else. I mean,
We'll revisit this topic in episode 6.
Yes, and bear in mind, after all, she's already done that, but in a different arena, which is in the MMO, where before she even met anyone, she decided how Hayashi wanted to look purely to please herself. Wasn't to please anyone else. And I think that, generally speaking, a healthy attitude to have is that it's important to be able to define and take actions for yourself to please yourself. That's not the same as being selfish. I'm saying that, like, you know, it's good to live for yourself, to live for you. So while in the end she is having a haircut because she is going on a date, the way she gets a haircut is an option that was not on the table as suggested by three different people. It was a bit, you know, a compromise, we can call it, but it's still something different. So I'm hoping that that will develop and bloom over more time there to give her more confidence. Because if I may address a slight elephant in the room here, I could see people getting annoyed at this show if Moriko's problems are solved through her forming a romantic relationship. Now, note that I didn't say that necessarily of a man there, just a relationship in general. It doesn't matter if it's a man or not. But I've often had this opinion that I think, to me, like, people need to stand on their own two legs. Romantic relationships should complement a person and not define them or shore them up. I've known many a woman in my time who they were so deeply in love with their partner, their boyfriend, whoever, who treated them like dirt. Right. But they didn't have, like, the self-respect or the, you know, the dignity to say, I can be on my own and be self-sufficient. I'm going to confess, for the longest time, I didn't feel like I was self-sufficient or worthwhile as a single person. I felt I needed someone to define me and validate me. Not anymore, thankfully. That has changed, of which I'm glad for. But I think that I'm hoping that, at least to a little bit, Mariko's success in this show and her overcoming this crisis that she's in, because again, as much as we might find this to be laughy jokey, this can't stay forever. Her money will run out eventually. It's going to happen. That's inevitable. I want to at least see a part of her success in overcoming this be down to herself and not necessarily entirely because she, say, ends up hooking up with Sakurai. Now, don't get me wrong. That's still going to be hella satisfying. I'm going to fucking love that when it happens. I'm going to be there, like, jumping up in my seat, smashing two beer cans together. And I'm like, yes! I mean, like I've said to you, Doc, it's going to be like in a football match when you get the goal and everyone just leaps out of the chair and starts screaming. That's going to be me.
Shirts coming off.
Oh hell yes! I'll run down the corridor in my flat and I'll just, like, you know, leap in the air and start scraping my knees on the landing, take out the entire carpet. But it'll be worth it. I'll be screaming like it's the Battle of 300. Like, yes, they kissed. Yes.
I'll be by myself doing the Daniel Sturridge robot. Is it the robot? He has some kind of dance. It's superior to the Peter Crouch robot, in my opinion, which is pretty also fantastic. Anyway, enough football tribute. Please continue.
Yeah, I knew saying football related stuff would get you going, because you are a football man. You're more of a football man than mine. I am, and I'm a Brit, so make of that what you will, folks. So my point is that I hope for, you know, the whole, like, nice, warm, whole, holistic, fuzzy feeling that, you know, doesn't make me take the interpretation that romantic relationships save people entirely in of themselves as opposed to something else. I want to see Moriko succeed because she gains self-respect, self-confidence, self-determination that's not anything to do with a guy or a girl or who or whatever, you know, the significant other.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. And hey, those two things can coexist. Getting the guy or getting the girl can be a side benefit of gaining that self-determination, that self-respect.
Sometimes, you know, you don't have it, and then meeting someone can be something that is a catalyst, or it kind of helps you to get there.
For sure.
Even though ultimately you, like, in the end, you are getting there. Because I do agree with you that, you know, it's easy for me to say this, a man who, you know, is married and has been for a long time. So I don't know, like, you know, or I haven't known for a while, like, the pain of, you know, being lonely when you don't want to be. But, I mean, I think the most important thing, you know, to being a happy, healthy person is to realize that you are the source of your own happiness rather than depending on someone else to be. Please.
No,
please.
That's no joke. That is legitimately my response to that, because it's so right and it is so true. And I think that finally, to seal off this point, I want Moriko to have found her happiness before she hooks up with Sakurai as opposed to after.
Right.
I want there to be that defining point. Mm-hmm. And maybe that can maybe these can happen within minutes of each other.
Yeah.
Like, literally, she goes up to him having, like, as he walks away, again, we're pitching scenes here, but like, as he's walking away, he's like, I'm finally happy with who I am, and then maybe you can be happy with me. I don't know. I'm making rubbish, like, jokey rom-com lines, like, sappy shit up as I go along here. You get my point anyway. Like, that's what I hope to see.
Mm-hmm.
So please, anime, don't fuck it up. Please, 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 please.
Manga written before. Please don't have fucked it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so back on topic. Haircut has been done, and now this is the point actually where the anime like pulls a nice little bit of concealing and building up for the reveal. Because the only thing we see of Moriko at this point is her putting on eyeliner.
Right.
And it's close-up shots, so we don't know what she looks like. She's got new clothes, she's got a blouse. In the same time, Sakurai is having a phone call with Kowai, and the theory I had before about what Kowai's up to is I think he deliberately misled Moriko on the date that they were meant to be having their date.
Yeah,
because you
I
know
think
she
so
gets
too.
Because you know she gets confused about the date that was happening. But I think that he told her one thing and has told Sakurai a different one.
I agree.
And this, by chance, has led him through the MMO to get some more idea of, you know, the fact that Moriko is Hayashi. And then also leads to the meeting in later on in this episode at the end of it, as a matter of fact. So it gets to the point where...
So if you believe that, but you also don't believe that... that his ultimate goal is to bring them together, I'm very curious as to how those two things are commensurate.
For one simple reason, I think that he is of the opinion that if Sakurai doesn't pull his finger out of his ass and doesn't get things going, then he has every right to do so.
Yeah. Okay. I can agree with that. I think that's right. But I think first and foremost, he wants Sakurai to
have a chance
to do this.
He wants him to have a chance, but he's then not against, you know, being the one who overtakes him in the race, so to speak.
Yeah, or I mean, I think how I would choose to believe, right, that it is working out is that he thinks that his Kohai will not make a move unless his feet are to the fire, unless, like Lilac said, you know, Lilac alluded to, like, you always, you know, once something has been taken from you, you realize that's what you wanted. And I think maybe Koiwai is presenting, you know, pretending to be that sort of threat, you know, of like, come on, Sakura-chan, like, your Morimori-chan is about to be taken away if you don't do something. Like, any guy could come along like me and just grab her up if you don't fucking pull the trigger.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I think, but I could be way wrong.
I think that's reasonable, but the problem with that behavior, though, is that sometimes you can foresee...
Oh, I know.
Someone else... You can foresee it already being over because someone else has made the approach, never mind if they succeed or not.
Yeah.
So, although Kowai is trying to push Sakurai into doing something by making these moves on Moriko, as far as Sakurai feels, or at least I imagine he feels, because he's already made those moves, that's it. Game over. It's done. He's played the first move, and that's already checkmated him.
I know. Once he's in the simulation, he's like... No, I like this. Yes, I'm not logging out. This is where I am. Fuck you,
exactly.
Sakurai. And
oh,
who could blame
dear.
Him? But
I've got plenty to say about Sakurai in the next episode.
Look,
I'm
glad that we brought this up because I am very much happier believing that like Kowai has been the puppet master here, as opposed to it. Being just like a simple misunderstanding that almost fucks things up, because like so many anime rom-coms that I have seen or it partway of a lot of times over the last few years I've hit eject and gotten out of there when this happens, they're just based around misunderstandings, and it truly frustrates me. I really don't like rom-coms that are that trade in misunderstandings is their chief kind of way to move the story forward. Like, it's just too frustrating for me. I understand that some people find them funny or whatever, but like, I just find myself getting so invested that when the misunderstandings are never fully resolved, you know, the guy is never like, well, you know, that one time you thought I was dating someone else, like, I actually wasn't. I've only been interested in you. It's like they just get together and they don't. And it seems like it's water under the bridge and no one ever brings it up. Like, that just builds up and bothers me. I'm going off on a tangent. Apologize, because that's not happened here. Thank Christ.
So far, let's hope. Let's hope it sticks the course. Let's hope.
I think I just want to, like, take a moment of silence for Mori Mori's long hair, because I loved it so much.
It was great, but I'll concede when we get to the reveal. I'm making the little, you know, you've got your forefinger and your thumb, and you hold it together in a little circle, your fingers up, like, nice. That kind of gesture.
Right.
So, at this point, Lily Sakurai is online with the rest of the guild, and they're about to do a dungeon in what I think looks like Satan's toilet. Because it's just, it looks like, could you have built a dungeon that looks more demonic than that? It really just looks like a festering shithole. Lily, however, can't concentrate. Sakurai knows that Moriko's going to be out there tonight, and he knows where they're going, or at least thinks he knows where they're going. And he's like, God, what do I do? What do I do? So he's like, right, folks, I'm going to go. I've got to go. Something's urgent has come up. And he logs off. And he makes for the station where he thinks that Moriko will be. By the way, after the point in which we saw Moriko get a haircut, we have not seen her in full shot at any point in the past, like, 5 minutes.
Right.
So I really like this little build up here to her new look.
Mm-hmm.
I like that it keeps this restraint. Like, you see, like, a shot of her in the blouse, like, but you don't see her face. You see her looking at her watch, but it's just of her wrist. Mm. So, Sakurai is running through a crowd of, like, you know, faceless black people. I think he might possibly be stuck in the dark hour.
It just hit me how right you are about the dark hour. So amazing.
All of them are black silhouettes.
So great.
Like, they're not coffins, admittedly, but it's close enough. But anyway, we get the reveal, and God bless Moriko. She looks adorable. She looks great.
Yep.
You hear sometimes about people, like, you know, having makeovers when they've been through, like, a bit of a crappy time. There's even been shows dedicated to this.
Many, like, many, many shows.
Yes.
Many of which I've seen. Because before we cut our cord, and we're cable folks, my wife watched a lot of those kind of shows.
Yeah. But you know what, right? I think there is genuine worth to having a makeover sometimes if you want to help, like, you know, get yourself started. I mean, I'll tell you for free, right? I started shaving my head and going skinhead when I was 26, 27, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And 27, I believe. And I'll tell you this, I should have done it so much sooner. Because I looked infinitely better with a shaved head than I did with this little, like, oven top, like, mop brush bullshit I had going previously. It looked fucking awful.
Oh, come on.
So, shame you had. Grew a beard. Looks a lot better for it. And Moriko, with her short hair, like, no bags under her eyes, dressed in this skirt and blouse, like, she looks fantastic. She looks like a pretty woman. Enough said. I mean, I'm no like, you know, appreciator of 2D, like, you know, waifus and all that. I don't buy into 2D as something I can find attractive.
3DPD.
I mean, you got me. But I have to say, like, it's great seeing that her, like, you know, undergo this little transformation here. And Sakurai, he reacts as you'd expect by looking like he's about to faint and he's just blown away. Like, I swear, if he'd have literally started quoting, like, that fucking, like, you know, balcony scene from Romeo and Juliet, I'd have reached into the show and I'd have slapped him.
Ha.
I'd have been like, no! Now's not the time! So, yes, that's the scene that the show ends on, with them meeting in the street as she walks away. Oh, sorry, go on.
Well, there's a part, you know, while she's waiting and he, Sakurai, is getting a cab over there after talking to Kowai. And she's waiting, and she's waited an hour, and she starts fantasizing.
Yes, you know, where she does.
Koiwai is like, oh, you thought I was being serious? That I was actually going to pick you up for a date? And
no.
It's just, it made me very sad because of course she would think it was her fault that she got stood up. I can so, like, I have been there.
You and me both, my friend.
I mean, just to have that kind of inferiority complex and those kind of anxieties gnawing at you, like, that was me as a, you know, male version of that 10, 12, 13 years ago. Like, I have been there, and it was painful to revisit some of those feelings of my own life, and I felt really sad for her.
Yeah, me too.
You know, in his fucking grand scheme, Koiwai sort of brought those feelings upon her. You know, he's not, like, how can he know that she's going to feel that way? But in his, like, harebrained, you know, idea of bringing these guys together, I feel like there was probably, there's had to be a cleaner way to do it, but ultimately it worked out. And, like, as Sakurai is, like, you know, approaching the seas, like, is he running up to her to where,
yeah, he is.
Where she is?
Yeah.
And then, like, she doesn't see him and she starts to leave. The Michael McDonald song, What a Fool Believes, just starts, like, playing in my head.
As he rises to her apology, everybody else was surely know. He's watching her go.
Like, that is just happening in my head. And the, you know, the piano. And, like, as she's slow motion walking away, I was like, that's just, it's just playing in my head. And I'm just like, no, don't let her go.
I have three things I need to say in response to what you just said to me. One, as you were singing that, I was waving my arms in the air back and forth. I am doing that right now, actually. I don't know if you'll hear the cheek creak in my chair on the edit, but that's literally the truth. Two, would-be video editors who might be listening to this podcast, if you want to do us a real solid and give Doc an early Christmas present, someone put that song over that scene for us, yes, please.
That part.
Please. I will repay you an immense gratitude and a Kit Kat if I can ship it. If I can ship it out to you, I'll give you a fucking Kit Kat. There you go. One more deed. And three, when I was watching this and she started walking away, I was like, if you end this episode on her walking away without them seeing each other and talking to each other, even just the once, like, that he misses his chance after this wonderful reveal of how she looks now. I wouldn't be able to cope. But thankfully, that's not what happens.
I think it just proves how emotionally invested we are in the show and the characters, because, you know, taking a step back rationally, the tone of the anime and the goals of the anime, like, this would be, if it did that, it would be like a, it would just be a script flipping of epic proportions. Like, that's just not what it's seemed to be setting out to do, is hurt us in that way. But, like, but we're so caught up in the moment and thinking that that's a live option. Like, I think that that speaks really well of the show.
I think that's true. I agree wholeheartedly. So that's the end of the episode, but there's one other thing I need to note, in that there's a small change to the ending.
Give me more Joker.
So, in the ending, various scenes flip by of Moriko in her apartment, etc., etc. Prior to this point, the final scene was of her sitting down with her long hair in the darkness at her PC. Now, it's of her new appearance, and she does a slight head tilt and smiles before it cuts to the next episode preview after that.
Wow. I have to fess up and say I have not been watching the ED.
I caught it by chance. And I was like, you know what? That's great. That's so great. Because she's still spending time on the MMO, but she's got the new look and she looks like she's actually, you know, not half dead inside. You go, girl. You fucking go.
Yep.
You play that MMO. You have a fucking good time. Oh, God.
We're rooting for you.
Just don't play World of Warcraft. It wasn't the same since Wrath of the Lich King.
Stop buying loot boxes.
Why did you buy Battlefront 2? You can't even refund it anymore!
Shit.
Anyway, that's the episode 5. So there we go. So, Doc, what were your thoughts on the episode overall? Do you have anything you want to add that we might have otherwise missed out?
No, I think I brought up all the points that I wanted to while we were discussing the plot. I thought that this was a very strong episode. I was pretty caught up in all the stuff that was happening. And this is actually where, like, I didn't start watching the show until it was probably maybe 4 or 5 weeks in. So this is one of the last, this was either episode 4 was the last one I saw, and then the next day 5 came out, or I watched all 5 in the same day, and this is the last one I got to see before, you know, taking a break. And, like, the show really does lend itself well to marathon viewing, and, like, I thought this was a really good way to end a long session with it. It felt like we'd made a lot of progress and significant things were happening, and lots of funny moments, lots of cool, interesting reveals. Like, I was super duper into this one. And so I am going to give this episode 4.5 Doobie Brothers out of 5.
I'm in absolute agreement, with the exception of the thing that I brought up earlier with this whole discussion with Lou, which I think,
yes,
like, this to me feels comparable with the others, but I think that with that it's slightly lower. But I don't have the heart to knock it below a 4, so I am going to go with 4 out of 5 haircuts for this one.
Snip, snip.
Snip, snip, indeed. So, we've had a bit of feedback here and there.
We have. Thank you, everybody, for sending us tweets and for commenting on, you know, the blog, this whatareweshow.wordpress.com. Feel free to leave any feedback there. On Wave Motion Cannon is hosting these as YouTube videos. Please leave comments there. We've gotten a comment about the name as well, that fruit de mer means seafood, which is hilarious.
That was right. Yes. Yes.
Makes me think of the video game, the recent PlayStation 4 release, Ace of Seafood. That's one of those games that you look at and you're like, what the fuck is this? But no, please please tweet us at WhatAreWeDeshow, email WhatAreWeDeshow@gmail.com, or, you know, leave comments on the SoundCloud. They have a really nice feature that lets you leave a comment at the exact point in the podcast, like a little flag will show up, you know, with your comments, and we'll know, hey, they're talking about this thing we said.
For sure.
So please give us all the feedbacks, and thank you for everyone who's done so far.
Indeed. Speaking of which, let's discuss that. So we've had a regular commenter on this series so far, Panino Manino, which is an amazing name. Shout out to Panino. Panino has left a couple of comments there, so I'm going to start with the one that came up on episode 2. Of our stream of thought on this. He mentions that he initially was concerned about seeing more in-depth discussion of Moriko's, like, work issues, and that it might suck the fun of out of the anime.
Mm-hmm.
And not an unwelcome concern there. I can see where he's coming from absolutely with that. I think that, for me, like, I stand by what I said when I discussed the idea of needing a bit more in-depth of a discussion on Moriko's work issues. But I, again, also stand by my point that I don't think you need to go, like, absolute bottom of the seas deep on this. I think a bit more would be welcome, but not, like, all in on it. Because I can totally get how it would be tonally dissonant and it would take away the fun of it as well. But I think that, you know, if you pump it up a little more, you can get a nice midpoint there where it'll make the resolution more satisfying without damaging the tone or taking away from the funny moments. That's just my perspective, though. I don't pretend to make that, like, you know, to be objective truth or, like, you know, the one way in which all anime must be made.
I think treat it like salt, you know, a light dash sprinkled throughout. Not too much. That'll kill the flavor of the meal, but a little bit certainly is a nice touch.
In a later comment he makes, he has a theory as well. In the ending, now I don't agree with this because I don't think it's Moriko that he's referring to here, but there's a scene of Sakurai popping up his glasses, and there's a woman in the background who walks in and then walks out again. And he thinks that's Moriko. I'm thinking, no. I don't think it is just based on look, but also that's pushing the coincidence boat really out to sea there, that they happen to be in the same goddamn office. Like, bear in mind that Sakurai and Kowai, like, work together directly, and they were and he called Moriko from a different building entirely one evening.
Well, that was an old job he had. He said he quit that job.
He did.
You know, so so they might not even... Yeah, like, I think if you're going to use the fact that Kowai and Sakurai work together, and previously Kowai and Mori-chan worked approximately together, that all three of them work in the same company, so could be in the same building, like, I think... I don't think that there's evidence to necessarily support that because, again, he quit and he was working somewhere different now. Hmm. So the building and company I think she would have been affiliated with, I don't think he's with them any longer. You know, unless he was being misleading by saying he got a promotion. I mean, I think he said he quit and got a different job. So, yeah I don't think that's so. But admittedly, I haven't seen the ED, so what do I know?
I don't know. I think I'm all for incidental detail, but that puts a ton of stuff. It's like, I'm fairly confident that the way Moriko reacts with, like, when she sees Sakurai for the first time in the hospital, unless you really want to make the theory that it was head trauma that did this in, but the way she acts suggests she's never seen him before. Yet if they worked in the same office for so long until she quit, there's no way that they wouldn't have bumped into each other. Never mind that is then reversed and that Sakurai doesn't know who she is either. So, I'm not of the opinion it is Moriko. You know what irony is? Like, I've said before, like, you know, all things exist in the scene. I don't know who that fucking woman is. It doesn't matter. I don't know. God, maybe this is making me a hypocrite, but I don't think it's Moriko. Because if it is Moriko, woo-wee, that's got plot holes of galore in it, and on top of that, it's just, again, really contrived. Like, oh, you were there supporting me all along, and then there's me just throwing up in the... There's just me puking in the toilet.
I think that would be over-determining and over-interpreting the evidence. I think that there is plenty of other hypotheses, you know, that you could come to based on the evidence.
Yeah, but by that same token, I'll also concede that if I'm making that statement about that in that particular ending, then my interpretations of the opening similarly are also up for the same scrutiny as to how relevant they may turn out to be. We'll see. There's still all to play for in the game, the game of MMO junkie. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are now going to close the episode for the time being. There's more feedback that we'll cover next time.
Righto.
But for the moment, thank you all very much for listening. You can find me at Shaden1010 on Twitter or on my Curious Cat, which is curiouscat.me/Shaden. Doc, would you care to, you know, leave your details where people can send you spam mail and, you know, all that usual good stuff?
Yes, I am at The Subtle Doctor on Twitter, curiouscat.me/TheSubtleDoctor. If you want to read things that myself, Shaden, or other folks that we... No, in an online sense, have written. It's wavemotioncanon.com. Wavemotion Canon has a YouTube channel where these are going up. Podcasts will eventually be going up once again. Production has halted on those because of our producer's real-life schedule, but those will be coming back. Meanwhile, there's Wavemotion Canon has a separate video game channel on YouTube where we post, like... long plays and let's plays and what have you. So if you want to listen to us play video games, that's there. I've given you all the podcast info earlier in the episode, but please get a hold of us. Please leave us a review or rating. Like, we'd appreciate all that stuff. And yeah, thanks for sticking around for episode 5 of this. We're having a good time doing it.
Hell yes. And as always, folks, embrace each other, everyone. till the ends of the universe. Good night.
Mwah.
Give me my old Joker.